This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Most of us human beings, what is our purpose of life? Number one purpose of our life is how to earn a living. Majority of the people, you ask them and you inquire with them, number one, the main concern is to earn a living. They are more bothered about earning a living than how to lead a life. And depending upon how much they earn, their lifestyle revolves around it. What will they eat? What will they wear? Where will they live? Which school will they study in? Which graduation course they'll take up? Everything revolves around their earnings. And these people think that if I can earn good money in this world, they have achieved the purpose of their life. You know, I gave the example of being focused. You know, most of us, what we do, instead of focusing on the eye of the bird and shooting, what do? We shoot, and then we draw the bullseye around it. We shoot anywhere. We take up any course of graduation. Then when we ask, why have you taken this course? Oh, I haven't thought of it. Then they do speciality. Then they do super speciality. And then they try and justify why they have chosen that course. You know, people, first they think, how much will they earn? And based on what will they earn, they decide how will they lead their life. This is just an apt example of shooting in the air and then drawing the bullseye. First, we have to identify what is our center. On which act does our life revolve around? Different people have different centers of their life. Some people, they are self-centered. Everything for them is themselves. They are least bothered about anyone else in the world. They are only bothered about themselves. How they lead their life, they are least bothered about others. They are self-centered. Some people, they are family-centered. Their whole life revolves around that their family is happy. They are ready to break and make any rule, irrespective whether it's right or wrong, to make their family members happy. The main aim in life is to make their family members happy. Some may be parent-centered. Some may be spouse-centered, wife-centered, husband-centered. Some may be children-centered. Now, some people, to make their parents happy, they will go to any extent. Their whole rules and regulations of life are based on what their parents like and don't like. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Luqman, chapter number 31, verse number 14, that we have enjoined on the human beings to be good to their parents. In travail upon travail did the mother bore them, and in pain did she give them birth. Immediate next verse, Surah Luqman chapter 31 verse number 15 says, but if your parents strive, do jihad, strive and struggle to make you worship somebody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of which you have no knowledge, don't obey them. Yet, live with them with love and compassion. That means, our Creator says, you have to love your parents, you have to respect them, obey them, but if they tell you to go against the Creator, against Allah and His final messenger, you don't have to obey them yet. Live with them with love and compassion. There are limits. Some of us, we are spouse-centered. We want to satisfy our wives or we want to satisfy our husbands. And suppose the man's wife, she wants a very expensive diamond necklace. The person, he can't afford it. What does he do? He begs, borrows, and steals, but buys that expensive diamond necklace for his wife. His goal is to satisfy his wife. Some of us, we are children-centered. We want to satisfy our children. There are cases where Sometimes the son wants to go abroad for studies. The course in which he is getting admission is useless. It will not help him in the akhirah, won't help him here also. But yet, because the son wants to go abroad, this person mortgages his property and sends his son to America and then says, "Mera beta to America mein pad raha hai." As though the objective of his life is to send his son to America to study. What are the objectives? What is the center of your life? Some of us, we are society-centered. We want to know what do the other people outside our family think about us. So full life revolves around the society. Some people, they are neighbor-centered. They are having competition with the neighbor. That reminds me of an anecdote. Once an angel, he comes and tells a man, "I am pleased with you. Whatever you ask, I will fulfill your desire. But there's one condition. Whatever you ask, I will give it to you, but I will give your neighbor double." So the man says, "I want a Rolex watch." So the angel gives him a Rolex watch, but gives the neighbor two Rolex watches. The man says, "I want a Mercedes car." The angel gives him a Mercedes car, but gives the neighbor two Mercedes cars. The man says, "I want a big, beautiful bungalow." The angel gives him a big, beautiful bungalow, but next to his bungalow, there are two big, beautiful bungalows given to his neighbor. So the man says, "Angel, please fulfill my last one desire." "What is it?" "Please break my one eye so that I cannot see with one eye." Imagine, he is more bothered about his neighbor than himself. He is not bothered whether his life is simple or complicated, whether he lives in poverty or luxury. He is more bothered that he should lead a better life than his neighbor. So much so that he tells the angel, "Break my one eye so that my neighbor's both eyes are broken." This is how we are neighbor-centered. He's not bothered whether he's happy or he can see or not see. As long as the neighbor is completely blind, I don't mind losing one eye. Neighbor-centered. Some people are friend-centered. Some people are enemy-centered. They are more bothered what are the enemies doing. What is my enemy thinking against me? So they plan strategies. If my enemy does this, I will do that. Full time, their full life goes in thinking what their enemy is doing. And you find this in various, you have businessmen thinking about the enemy, you have politicians thinking about the enemy, you have students thinking about the enemies. What are they planning? So I will counter plan. They spend most of their time in planning to counter the enemy. I would like to give a piece of beautiful advice to them, which I follow in my life. If someone throws stones at you, raise yourself so high so that the stones don't reach you. If someone throws stones at you, raise yourself so high the stones should not reach you. So where is the question of competition? Where is the question of the enemy planning against you? And there's another advice. If someone throws bricks at you, use those bricks to build your house. When I was in school, I used to learn martial arts. Karate, judo. And if a big man comes and pushes you, what do? You take a sidestep, use his force to throw him over. Use his force. If someone throws bricks at you, use that brick to build your house. Some people are fame-centered. They want to get famous. The main aim is to get famous. They can break any of their principles. They can break any of their rules and regulations. Some people, they are materialistic. They are material-centered. They are more bothered what do they own What do they possess? What do they wear? And this is common, very common amongst people who are rich. And when they meet their friends, they start discussing, what brand of watch are you wearing? Is it Tagore? Is it Omega? Oh, it is Rolex. What is the strap? Is it metal strap or leather strap? What is the bezel? Oh, what kind of a dial do you have? Is it gold plated or is it diamond studded? Oh, designer watch. Parthee Philip. And most of these people who are rich, they don't have one watch. They have multiple watches. Then they start planning. Okay, this watch I wore today, next time I'll not wear the same watch when I meet my friend. So they spend their time in planning which watch to wear for which function. These same people then start discussing about cars. What car do you have? BMW? Mercedes? Porsche? Rolls Royce? Maybach? Bentley? Designer? This is the pastime. And very often, as though this is the identity. If they don't wear that watch, who will recognize them? If they don't travel in the car, if they don't travel in Mercedes or BMW, who will recognize them? This is the identity. This is common amongst people of big cities. On a higher level you go, they start discussing what yacht do you have? What kind of ship do you own? On a higher level, which jet do you own? I have a private jet. How many engines? People may be wondering, how come I know all the nitty-gritty of the watches, of the brands? You know the profession that I am in? Alhamdulillah. Fortunately, unfortunately, the profession that I am in, I am mixed around with all types of people, right from paupers to the kings. Allah has blessed me. Fortunately, unfortunately, I mix around with people who are paupers to the kings. And every opportunity I get, whenever I meet a person who's materialistic, I try and convey the message. And I tell them, you know, your watch may be costing thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. My watch that I'm wearing, it cost only 1400 rupees, less than $30. I have it for several years, yet it gives the same time accuracy as your watch. Simple watch, 1400 rupees. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me. All these brands that I mentioned, most of these brands I've got gifts. I've got gifts of these brands. All these, Omega, Rolex, many I got. And I always follow the guidance of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I give it to other da'is and I give it to my staff members so that I'm away from the khutwa to shaitan. There have been occasions when my hosts, they send their private jet plane to get me into the country. There were few occasions. Imagine the cost of the fuel of the private jet plane just to get one man. The salary of the pilot. The salary of the air hostess. The salary of hiring the airport. So I told this man that it would have been preferable that you have given me an economic class. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed. Allah has blessed my family that mashallah, we can own all these cars. We can travel first class, alhamdulillah. But I'm a da'i. So I told him, instead of spending such a big amount, you would preferably given me an economic class air ticket. I would have come and you could have given the difference in charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My host also, mashallah, being very clever, he told me that who can I send my jet private plane to pick up? Who is a better person than a da'i of Allah? So I told him, inshallah, if a niyat was there, inshallah, I'll get the reward. His niyat was to give a servant of Allah the best of treatment, Allah will reward him. The point to be noted is, I'm not telling you that all these material things are haram. They are not always haram. You have to know your objectives of life. They can become haram, they may not become haram. Let me give an example. Suppose you belong to category one, in which a person cannot afford these things. These expensive watches, expensive cars, expensive bungalows. Yet, he begs, borrows, and steals. Or he takes a loan and he wears his expensive watches. He travels in expensive cars. It is called as israf. It is haram. We have second category of people who Allah has given them the means, as Allah says in the Quran, in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 71. We have bestowed bounties more freely on some human beings than the others. But Allah says in Surah An'am, chapter 6, verse number 165, that Allah has raised some people in higher ranks and giving gift to others so that he may test you. So if Allah has given you the means, and if you have all these things, expensive cars, expensive watches, expensive bungalows, and if your life is revolving around it, then you cannot do without it. It is your center, it is your purpose of life, yet it is haram. We have the third category of people who Allah has given the means. They own these things, but they aren't dependent on them. They own it. We have examples of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, who was rich, and he owned, but he wasn't dependent on it. So if you own these things, and yet you follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you aren't dependent on these material things, then it is mubah. It's optional. It is not haram. But the best category is the fourth category. That Allah has given you the means, and yet you don't use it. You don't acquire it. Like a beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the power he had, the fame he had, the command he had, he could have become the king of the world that time. He could have won all the riches. But whenever he got a gift, most often, almost all the times, he gave the gifts to the sahabas. Not that it was haram to own it. If someone gives a good gift, you can keep it. It's not haram. But the Prophet, he gave it to others. The fourth category, Allah has given you the means. But yet, you spend those means in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to identify our center. What is our center? The most important center for the human being is he should be Allah-centered. His purpose, his goal should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And believe me, if you are Allah-centered, that does not mean that you neglect yourself, you neglect your family, that neglect your society. If you are Allah-centered, Allah says that take care of yourself. Sleep at night. Allah says that take care of your family. Allah says about your parents in Surah Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 23 and 24, that Allah has ordained that you worship none but Him, that you be kind to your parents, and if one of them or both of them reach old age, don't say a word of contempt. Don't say off to them. But address them with honor. And lower to them your wing of humility. And pray to the Lord that cherish them as they cherish me childhood. That means if you are Allah-centered, you have to love your parents. You have to respect them. You have to obey them. Only when they go against Allah and His Rasul, that's the time you don't obey, but live with them with love and compassion. Surah Luqman, chapter number 31, verse number 14 and 15. If you are Allah-centered, that does not mean they don't take care of your wife. It is the hadith of a beloved Prophet Muhammad, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Hadith number 7396. A beloved Prophet Muhammad said, the best of the believers are those who are best to the family, especially your wife. Allah-centered doesn't mean neglecting your family, neglecting your society. Allah says in Surah Maun, chapter 107, verse 1-7, that you provide neighborly needs. Help your neighbors. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad said, It's hadith in Sahih Bukhari, volume number 1, Book of Faith, hadith number 13, that a person is not a believer if he does not wish for his brother the same thing what he likes for himself. That means take care of other people. So by being Allah-centered, it doesn't mean that you're neglecting, that you have to lead a life of a pauper. Your focus should be Allah. If Allah has given you wealth, see to it that use your wealth for the cause of Allah. If Allah has given you fame, use that fame for the way of Allah. If Allah has given you qualities, if Allah has bestowed gifts on you, use it for the cause of Allah.